Today's replay is a catch-up of what's going on with our guest from episode 22, Tim Cullum. So we had Tim on. He was talking about what it takes to market a product by marketing yourself. Ultimate right brain, left brain guy. So on the one hand, super successful real estate agent. Other hand, super successful artist, which is weird, right? Most people can't do both of those kinds of things. Thing that makes him also interesting is he's a recovering alcoholic and he's addicted to what he calls more.
Yeah.
It's that addiction to more, but in a positive way, that has kept him straight. So when we had him on, he had recently made international headlines with an art project that he had promoted and sold on Instagram, and he had raised 150 grand for the victims of the campfire, which was super cool. So flash forward. Every year on New Year's Day, he sits down and he writes out 100 goals. 100 things he wants
to do.
That's a lot. I know.
Does he do all of them?
Not necessarily, but he at least like comes up with 100 things that he wants to do. And one of the things that's been on his list every year is to write and produce a coffee table book, like an art book.
Yeah.
And what do you know? He just did it.
Nice.
146 pages, and it is, it's a beautiful book. If you want to check it out, you can check it out at Tim Cullum Gallery, C-O-L-L-O-M.com. We'll link it on the show notes too. So that's what Tim has pulled off most recently. Quick story. Tim just sold a house in my neighborhood. So he sends these cards out. This is, again, just brilliant. Sends these cards out for what he called a neighbor open house. Now, you ever been to an open house?
Yeah.
You know, who's the first person in there?
The realtor.
Well, yeah, but who's this? Who's the first person to show up to the open house?
Oh, the neighbors.
The neighbors! And everybody walks in, they're like, oh, I have a friend who's looking to buy. There's no friend.
No.
You were there because you want to see how your neighbor lived. Yeah. You are Snoopy, and you want to see that they picked ugly paint and that they had ugly wallpaper. Like, it's just, like, that's how we are. Like, we just want to go snoop. So he cut the neighbors off by giving them their own night to come in. Every neighbor that walked in, I was the first one there, by the way. every neighbor that walked in started by making the excuses. And he was like, oh, no, no, no. This is your night. You don't have, I don't care if you got anyone. Just come on in. Enjoy it. Just see. It was brilliant. And then so he was able to not have all of us show up at the real open house, like actually have customers.
Yeah.
And then in the meantime, he probably picked up a bunch of clients.
Nice.
I just, again, I'm like, Tim, you do it again. And he had candy. So that was cool.
Winner.
Okay, back to the replay. In this Dying to Ask, you're going to hear how Tim did make those international headlines, raising all of that money with an art project on Instagram. We'll find out how he met and accidentally insulted Wayne Thiebaud, the greatest living artist of our time, and then how Thiebaud went on to become his friend and mentor. And we'll also learn Tim's art of the hustle, how you can sell and market yourself or a product on social media. Here is our episode with Tim Cullum. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I am obsessed with knowing how people do things. I write the book, they start the company, they go from idea to reality. I call it the art of the follow-through, and I want to know how people go from A to B. This is the Dying to Ask podcast. Tim Cullum, welcome to Dying to Ask.
Thank you so much.
Really,
how fun.
Really glad to have you here. Poor Jeff, though. I think between the two of us, our energy levels just naturally.
It's on.
It's on.
Poor Jeff.
Like the proverbial Donkey Kong, which he's too young to know about. But
I know Donkey Kong.
You know Donkey Kong?
Please, please. It was big.
Because your parents
N64.
Played it?
Yes. I love that.
Not that young.
Still pretty young, though.
He's pretty young.
Right?
I know. Right. He brings it down for us, which I love. Well, thanks for coming in. You've had a crazy couple of months. When California dealt with the campfire, which became our deadliest, most destructive wildfire ever, hopefully nothing will ever surpass that.
Right.
You, as a local artist, saw what was happening. Like a lot of us, you felt really helpless.
Absolutely.
And so what was your idea?
So it was actually, it was a moment that, you know, I vividly remember it. It was in the morning and it was, I was watching KCRA News. And I watched
an excellent.
And this
start
is not like, and yeah, this is not paid. This is not a plug. But I was watching it, and at the time, Edie was up there reporting, and I remember seeing it, and it was dangerous. It was not like your normal. You could see that on her face. It was there was like, she's obviously very professional. You guys are always that way, but when you put it, you could tell like she was almost like there was a certain like levity to it. There was different, and I was frustrated because I just saw all this that was happening, and I'm like, well, this isn't right. There's something that's, and it was big at that point. I mean, it was, I think it was the day after, 2 days. I don't know what it was, but it was really bad. And they didn't know the initial numbers and what happened. And I got frustrated. And I'm like, what can I do? You know, and I think what got me the most was that there was some pictures of animals that were wandering the streets. And I was just kind of like, I don't know what I can do. And I've been in these situations where there's 1,000 telethons. There's 1,000 types of things that you can kind of look at and go, okay, how can I help? And so I had this picture of California that I did for Lululemon a year ago. And they said, hey, will you do something for our company? And do something, you know, local related. And I said, it's hard for me to do local because I love all of California. So I did this big California, like, you know, the state of it. And
describe it. Like, it is a beautiful picture.
It's, yeah. So it's like you're just your outline of California. And then I've been a painter for a while, and I put all of my different scenes within that California piece. And a friend of mine, Catherine O'Connell, she actually was like, you know, you should try, because I did all these different LA to Malibu to San Diego to Capitola to Tahoe to, you know, the Bay Area, San Francisco, up north, you know, in the mountains, all that. And she goes, you should just put it all in one piece. And I said, well, man, I don't know how I'm going to wrap that up. I don't know what it'll look like. So there's different versions of it. And the first versions were not in the state of California, but this one I did it in the state of California. And I, that day, was like, what can I do? And, you know, I put together a social media post, and I love social media, and we'll talk about that. But it's one of those things where I feel that people, if you do it correctly, you can really gain a great audience. And so I put it out there, not thinking nothing's going to happen. And, you know, I say, hey, here's my story. I was, you know, sitting on the couch. I felt helpless. And what I want to do is that, you know, for every print that's purchased, you know, we'll donate the proceeds to the Paradise Relief. And I had no idea who I was donating it to.
Right.
No clue.
So you had the painting. And mm-hmm. So the idea was that we'll take the painting and we'll make prints of it.
Yes.
We can make a million of those.
Right.
And then we'll sell them.
And I've only done 50 to 100 prints at a time before. And my print people, and bless them, they are just a small little team, husband, wife. They're in a garage. They're like, you know, we do prints of 25 to 100 editions of that with different art. It's worked out great. We sell a certain amount. And
is it tough to make a print?
Because
it's gonna
be good for
right?
them. Yeah, someone that
I mean,
knows
you're not
what
going down
doing.
Like Kinko's.
I'm not. No, it's not Kinko's. It's scientific in the sense that they have unbelievable like ink, and they have great printing presses and all those things. As far as making sure, actually, sometimes the prints look better than the originals, and they can enhance the color. They can make it very bright. All
so
of
did
those
you give
things.
This lovely couple a heads up? Hey,
I
have
no. So I didn't give anyone a heads up, and so this is the behind the scenes story. My gallery director, she was so upset with me the next day. And so what happened was is that I, you know, did this and my good I have someone that helps me with social media, and Alexis, she tells me, and she goes, you really need to do this. I'm like, oh, why do I need to do that? And I kind of fought this, and I'm like, okay, well, like, she goes, you could just sell some, and she's like, you'll raise, you know, $2,000 to $4,000, it'll be great, and you could just give it to the Paradise victims and that type of thing. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay. And she formulates some of the copy. I get the picture, and it's just me holding this California print. And it's very vibrant. It has Tahoe in it, has the San Francisco Bay Area, and then Sacramento. And it has like sunflowers and LA, San Diego, Palm Springs, all that stuff. So anyway.
So you throw it out there. You think, hey, maybe we'll make $4,000.
Yeah.
We'll donate it to the people up there.
Right.
And it will satisfy that urge that we all have to do something.
Right.
So you put it out there. And then what happened,
it's
Tim?
It just absolutely exploded. And that's where I was like, oh, man. And what happened was we had a PayPal account set up. And we were just like, you know, your normal thing. And PayPal called us the next morning. And they were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what do you mean?
What did
and
you
this
break?
Is at 6:30 in the morning. So I'm out of, like, I go to bed really late at 2 in the morning. And I wake up and I have my gallery director calling me and saying, what did you do?
Like, what have you done?
Like, we are like going crazy. So in the first day, it was, I think, $25,000 worth of prints.
And you're
that
selling
were sold.
Them for, I believe,
about
it was $40.
Bucks. Yeah, $40.
Bucks
so the math, I don't know. I forget what it was, but ultimately it was in the 4,000 print range. I don't know what it ended up, you know, at the end. But we could have kept going, and we could have kept, but it was a full time for 1 month game on. And
because what happened was, because I did this, people took a screen grab of it,
yeah.
And it helped people like me pass it on. Hey,
yeah.
Tim is selling these prints, and the money is all going to help with
right.
fire relief.
Right.
And the next thing you know, like, Instagram was blowing
it was
up.
Crazy. And I think people just don't, and I didn't know, so I was frustrated with how do you give money to people that need it? And my biggest thing is that how do you get it directly to them? So what happened was is that it, you know, the first day was $25,000. I knew we were on to something big.
$25,000 orders. $25,000.
So $25,000 that were was raised through prints, you're talking packaging, printing, you know, mailing, all of that, you know, all these different people, and they go, okay, we got to end this. I go, no, you know, we're gonna keep going. We're gonna go as much as we can, and so. We instantly, like my whole like gallery director to, you know, the printing people, they hired people and we were getting it up to $75,000 within, you know, 4 or 5 days. And then it got past $100,000. And that's when it started to get where, you know, you start getting the calls. And those are the calls of like from, you know, the bigger calls, Senator Harris and people that are like, you know, we want to take a picture. We want to do this. How can we help? And it started getting bigger and bigger. And then I guess I've never been anything viral. And I guess that was viral. And
oh, that was viral.
And it scared me. It scared me. It honestly did. Because I became a vehicle for these people's money. And there were people that were saying, hey, you know what? I saved up $40 and this is my, you know, my allowance that I normally would spend on my kids or whatever it was. And they wanted to go to the fire. So it was much more of a responsibility than I ever could have imagined. And at first, you know, I'm always going, okay, let's figure this out. And I thought to myself, this is a super important cause. So one of my followers was the California fire. They were the president, the wife of the president. And she Brian Rice, was one of the main people that was running this. And I think the main thing is that Liz Rice was following me and I didn't really know where this money was going because people started to ask and people get cynical. That was the other thing. People are like, are you keeping this money? What's going on? And for me, they're like, okay, this guy's running a scam and you got those kind of things because it's done. It's one of those things that people during tragedy take advantage of different things. And so Liz Rice says, hey, you know, how about, you know, the California professional firefighters and what they do is they're on the front lines and they get people money that need it most.
So you had them to kind of help
navigate that.
What's the farthest that you mailed one of these things?
Oh, man. They hit every state. We hit every single state. Not one state was not left out. There was amazing as far as that. We tried to do international orders. What we didn't. There was a demand for that for sure. So we had people in Europe. We had people in Canada. We had people everywhere asking
amazing.
For these.
How many prints did that poor couple have to do in the end?
Oh, man. They're in the 4,000 range. And then it keeps going now. I mean, it's still – people always ask about it. And now it's turned into something where people are always bringing it up with me. So it changed. Yeah. It honestly, and I had no intention of it becoming this. And I think the main thing is that when you're giving to firefighters and you're giving to the, there's 51, I believe, firefighters that lost their homes there. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, it was really important that the firefighters were recognized. And at the time, there was some political heat because they were going back and forth. And Trump was at that point where he said, you know, that. Yeah, he just said
there was
some
a
stuff.
Lot happening.
Yeah, and I think that he took a side, and then the firefighters were defending themselves in a way.
Right. How big was that big fat fake check you brought up? I know you gave a real check.
I've never seen that. Yeah. It was big. It was I've always wanted to win one of those. Like, you know, I was like lottery, like holding on.
What was the number on it?
It was 151, I think 200. So, and that was at the time. And then Lululemon got involved. We got an extra $10,000. And again, we could have probably kept going, but at the same time, it was tough because the more and more we did, it was really putting some pressure on all of us.
More
but
than $150,000.
Yeah, it's $150,000.
All from you having a whim in a Facebook post, but it doesn't surprise me because, and I've known you over the years.
Sure.
You are one of the greatest marketing people I've ever watched.
Oh, that means a lot. Wow,
you come up with crazy ideas. In addition to being a really talented artist, you were also a very successful real estate agent. But you also at one point in your life were something else, and that was addicted to alcohol. And
sure.
I think that falls into your story in a big way too.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about how you got to this point, and we'll do that right after this.
4 a.m. It's a new day. Okay, so the roosters aren't even awake yet. But KCRA3 Morning News is. If it happened overnight, Deirdre, Teo, Tony, and Ty have got it covered. Tamara's forecast is so accurate, your day practically plans itself. And Melody monitors the roadways so you always have the best routes to work. It may be too early to see the sun, but you can always see the 3 and get the 3. News, weather, traffic. KCRA3 from 4 to 7, where the news comes first.
So anyone who heard that first section of the podcast today is thinking, man, this guy has put together, he is on track, has it made.
Gosh.
But if people knew you even 20 years ago,
yeah,
they might be surprised to see where all this turned out.
Yeah, no way.
Where
yeah.
were you 20 years ago?
In a bad place. I think that for me, it was, there's really been no, there still isn't a plan. Like I don't have, you know, I do a lot of goals and I do a lot of different things, but one of the goals wasn't let's get addicted to alcohol.
And that I think not
that's not, yeah,
things.
That was not my first thing. My mom always said, be careful of it. My family comes from all, you know, we're either alcoholics or recovering alcoholics. And it's one of those things where we're Irish and we, you know, it's, we've always enjoyed it. But I'm addicted to more, and I'm addicted to anything that I like. And so whatever I do, including drinking, that was something that I couldn't wind down at night. And that was really kind of my biggest challenge is that I worked in real estate, and I started when I was 21 years old. I've been in the fitness world before, but one of my clients said, hey, try real estate for a year. And I did, and I fell in love with it and instantly. But it was the go, go, go pace. My mind wouldn't stop. And then, you know, you get home and afternoon cocktails turn into evening cocktails, and then you start doing lunchtime cocktails and all of those different things. And for me, I don't remember much of my 20s, but that's where, long story short, I went into a doctor's office, and I talked to them, and I was in bad shape, and there was just a routine physical. One of my friends who's a heart surgeon said, you need to go check out, you know, just go to a doctor. When's the last time you've been? He knew right away.
And did everybody around you know?
Yeah, I think that as an alcoholic, you always think that you're hiding it. You're really clever. You're really slick. You're like, oh, and that's how it goes, right? Yeah. You're one of those people. And I was one that was not, I wasn't a blackout drinker. I wasn't one where you would never think that I'm the biggest alcoholic in the room or anything. I was consistent. And that's kind of what I do is my work ethic and how I work and my drive is consistent. Mm-hmm. So I was always drinking. And he said, hey, just go check out with the doctor. And I went into the doctor, and the doctor ran some tests. And then they called me back in 24 hours. And they said, you know, we need to talk to you. And I didn't even tell my wife at the time. And I said, I got to go back to the doctor. I'm thinking I'm dying, which I was. I was dying of alcoholism. And they had three doctors that were in the room now. And so when it went from one to three doctors, then I knew that there was something going on.
And it's called an intervention.
Yeah. It's an intervention. And I had the liver of an 84-year-old and 85-year-old. And they gave me, you know, anywhere from 90 days to 120 days to really before real problems set in with cirrhosis and things like that.
And so, how old are you at that point?
I was about 30. Wow. Yeah, 29, 30. So, and I started when I was young. I started when I was typical upbringing, great parents, great private education, all that type of thing. And they gave me every opportunity. And, you know, in college, I started drinking and I started drinking in high school. I shouldn't say that. But ultimately, it was a pattern, and it was one that was getting in the way of life. And I think I had every excuse to drink at any time. And it got to the point where I was either going to live or die. And that was it. So when I was 30 years old, it was St. Patrick's Day. I'm Irish. I don't know how, like the coincidental part. I'm like, what's going on, right? But that was the day that
God
I stopped.
God has a sense of humor.
Yeah, that's it, right? So I've got something. It's like out of all the days to stop. That was the day that I walked in, and I walked into an AA meeting. And yeah, it was really powerful, and my life has gotten immensely better since I stopped, and I've been very open and public about it.
You're very open, pretty much about everything.
Yeah,
on social media. When did the art come into it, and how did the art help with all of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's a great question
because all these things
such
tied
a good
together.
Question. Yeah, it did. So, what happened was that this doctor who was a good friend, and he was so important in my life, and he said, you know, you're going to have to figure out something else to do with your life. And I go, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you know, at night you used to drink and you used to do all these things. You got to figure out what you want. And I was always like, man, I have no idea. And I can't watch TV. I don't sit still very well. Mm-hmm. So he's like, figure out something like a hobby or a passion. And I had always painted and always drew as a kid. And I always just loved it. But as a young kid growing up with high school, other kids weren't as receptive to that. I was always playing sports and tennis and, you know, baseball and out and doing those types of things. And I always loved it. And they're like, just come out and do this. And I'd like to draw or like to paint. And it was kind of one of those things that some kids would make fun of. So I always
My
liked it.
My younger son is like that. He's extraordinary. He is a boy's boy.
Yeah, sure.
He's as boy as they come. but he's incredibly artistic
yeah.
and can paint. And but you're right,
right.
because it doesn't necessarily fall into what you expect
yeah.
a boy to be like.
Right, right. And I have a creative side to me that has to come out. And so for me, I did it in real estate through marketing. I mm-hmm. love marketing. I stay up at night and watch commercials. It's weird. But
wow.
I like love the Beats commercials. I love the Apple, how they do marketing, the advertising, all of that stuff. But really what happened was is that I filled my time with painting, and I found that it relaxed me. My dad did it when he was he went to Stanford, and he had a lot of pressure, and he started doing that at a young age. And then when he worked, he had a pretty high stress job in the Silicon Valley when it was really going. And so what happened was is I watched him do it. My mm-hmm. brothers are artistic too, and then so I started to paint at night when I used to drink. So I go into a studio at 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. I go in there until about 1 a.m, 2 a.m, and that's what's happened.
Were you good instantly?
No, I'm not good now. I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I don't, no way. Like, people tell you you're good, you're like, no way. No, no. I look at it where it's kind of one of those things where you're always getting better, and you can't, you have to, I don't think of myself as that. I didn't have formal instruction. I always believed that if I took a class, and this is going to go against every art person's going to just call in or whatever, but if I had a class of 30 people and they're all painting the same orange and a teacher's teaching you that, I didn't want to be one of those 30. I wanted to be different, and I wanted to do it my own way. And that's kind of where I have my own style. And I've been written up, you know, by art critics as childlike and different types of things. And, you know, not the fancy art words. But for me, the one thing I can say, it's my own style. And I was influenced by a lot of the Sacramento artists. And
we have some tremendous artists in this area.
I'm wondering, how do you gauge success when it comes to
that's a really good question. That's such a good question. I think that for me, in the beginning stages, I had somebody, they called me and they said, we saw one of your paintings, and this was really early on, and her husband had served in Iraq, and he was coming home, and basically what they wanted to give a gift. And then they handed me a $100 bill, and I said, whoa, wait a minute. Like, I can make money doing this. I love this already. What's going on? I had no intention of the monetary part.
Because you're still working in residential real estate.
Yeah, I did very well. I still do. And it's very, you know, it's that's my job. Real estate's my job. And it's always been a passion of mine. I love people, all of that. It just fits normally. But art started to become where it was more of a business. And again, it was by accident, all of those things have happened. But success, I think, to me, goes in waves. And I think that sometimes you do a painting and you go, okay, in my mind, that's a very successful. But let's say it doesn't sell. Society would say, oh, it didn't sell, so it's not a successful painting. Someone else didn't want it. That's different. So, but for me, I think it's a way for me. I think success is defined as me getting through a night and not drinking and making something that's creative and something that is tangible and something that came at that moment of time from my mind, and I put it out on a canvas, and I can look back at any painting. And I posted one yesterday of this one that I didn't look at, and I didn't want to look at it because it was something where I painted when I was drunk, and it was a martini. I used to do martinis because I thought it was cool, and that was something where I was like, okay, let's just paint these, and then I put those away. I put a couple of them away, and that was a time in my life where you want to forget, but then I remember them because of the pain. But that painting was very important in my life because, you know, it's just kind of one of those stories of like, okay, I was not in a good place at this time.
You have a remarkable art mentor, Wayne Thiebaud.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to learn a little and you haven't gone to art school, like, I can't think of somebody better to help guide you or inspire you. How did you meet Wayne Thiebaud?
So Wayne Thiebaud, he has been...
And for people who don't know who he is, will you say...
Yeah, Wayne Thiebaud is probably one of...
related to Tim.
What's that?
Is he related to Tim Thiebaud?
No, he's not related to Tim Thiebaud at all.
Far more talented.
He's the most famous living artist of our time right now, I would say. Most people would never know that. He's very humble.
And how old is he? 90?
He's, I would say 97.
97.
Yeah, and he plays tennis at Sutter Lawn Tennis Club, and he does that weekly, and his routine is unbelievable. And I knew of Wayne Thiebaud when I moved to Sacramento, which was about 20 years ago, and I heard the name, and I knew art just on a very elementary level, but I knew that he taught at Davis, and he was one of these iconic names, but he was someone you would never know and unassuming. And what happened was is that I was at Sutherland Tennis Club, and I knew his son, Paul Thiebaud, and you always just heard about him through stories and, you know, just unbelievable stories of him, you know, meeting like different celebrities and different people and that type of thing. And he's in every major museum. So if you can Google him and, you know, he's very known for, he was in the pop art movement. He'd never consider himself, you know, an Andy Warhol or anything like that, but he blew up at that time. And I went to Sutherland Tennis Club, and I didn't have a tennis partner, and it was 12 o'clock, and there's a group of older gentlemen, and they were, you know, at that time probably in their 80s, and I played tennis a little bit, and I was, you know, one of those guys that just wanted to, you know, go there at lunch, and what they do is you go in, and if they flip for, you know, if they flip a quarter to see who got the young kid, and let's play, and they were very, like, there was some just guys that they've been playing for years and years and decades. Not even just years.
Right.
And so I was this naive just kid that, you know, picked up the tennis racket, joined the club that my wife had belonged to. And I walked in and I said, you know, my name's Tim. And he said, my name is Wayne. And he goes, you know, we were chatting away and I go, what do you do? And he says, I'm a painter. I go, that's great, because I sell houses and I could refer you business because, you know, I could give you, you know, basically the clients that I need that need, you know, houses that need to be painted.
ABC, and always be selling.
Always trying something, right? So we chat and we're going, and the next day someone comes back and I go, yeah, I met Wayne and I met this guy and this, and he's a house painter. And the guy goes, he's not a house painter. He's one of the most world famous painters that our times come across. And then he says, Wayne Thiebaud, it all clicked. And I said, oh man. And from that point, and I didn't say, oh man, I said something else. And I was like, no.
We appreciate
it. So I think that for me, he saw a side of me where he knew that I like was just trying to be myself. And we've had, we really don't talk art. I'd see him, you know, once ever, not that much. I haven't had like a formal lesson from him, but he knows of my work. He's been to my gallery. We, you know, obviously he's everyone's mentor. And I think that's the thing is that for him, Greg Kondos, the guys that have come up, it's definitely been an incredible process. But just to know him, and we're going to be doing a little art show with him actually shortly. So that's going to be a big dream of mine to have, have some art going with him.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
I bet if he was going to paint your house, it would look amazing.
It would be amazing. It would. There's no question. Yeah. If he does that, that's it. And that he's painted smud. He's painted a lot of things. And no one will. He did a row of cupcakes around this one house, supposedly, and no one knows what to do with them, to cut them out individually and sell them. His paintings go, you know, anywhere from the million to $5-6 million range. So
incredible.
They're very, and he's incredible. As humble as it can be. Like, same Volvo, same car, same everything.
I love it. So, well, that's kind of how you are as well. You know, you just touched on something that I want to talk about in our next section, and that is kind of the art of the hustle, because you do hustle, friend.
Thank you.
Whether it's selling houses or selling art or raising money for people who need it, you're kind of a king of promotion and of taking advantage of opportunity and social media, and then also in being kind of authentic and true to a message. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want you to teach us the art of the hustle.
Oh, man.
Some of the things you've learned over the years.
I'll give it my best.
The art. You like that?
That's good. I'm going to use that. Jeff and I will use that today, right?
You guys are free to take
Can we name this segment? That's it.
I think we just did.
Yeah,
all right. We'll be back with more Dying to Ask right after this.
First on the scene.
Flames ripped through a Modesto business.
First with the facts.
And one suspect is in custody.
So you're first to know. KCRA 3 News at 4.
Your first chance to get up to speed.
We are the people and we are the power.
To learn what's happening right now.
Another spot fire breaking out across Highway 20.
And to help you prepare for what's next.
When it happens in Northern California, get it first at 4 from the team you trust. KCRA 3 News at 4, where the news comes first.
All right, so when we left off last, we were just kind of getting into the art of the hustle.
Sure.
Which you liked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of puns.
Yeah, art of the hustle. I love that.
Yeah. So just tell me about what do you do to promote your work or your real estate?
Sure.
Any of that.
And when did you realize like what the trick was?
Yeah, I think that for me, I don't know if there's one defining moment, but I have this drive and I just have a chip on my shoulder and I have things where when you're told that you're not supposed to do something, like you're not supposed to be a personal trainer, you're too small, you're not supposed to be a real estate agent, you're too young, you're not supposed to be an artist, you've never had enough school, you start to go, okay, I'll listen to those things. And for me, I focus on that. And it's where you get this drive. And I think for me, the hustle has always been, I come from a family that everyone went to Stanford. And I didn't go to Stanford. And really, I had a tough time sitting still and concentrating. And I was really good at calculus, but I was horrible at sociology. Like, it was weird. My mom's like, how can you get an A in calculus too? And not, you know, sociology, just do something else. And I just went towards what I loved. And I think that's really important. And I have no plan to wake up and go, I'm going to be an artist and a Sacramento real estate agent and sell 150 houses a year, and this is what I'm going to do with my life. Everything has been unintentional except for the fact that I do what I love. And when I do it, I make sure that I am very like driven hard in the sense that I make sure that I'm doing the best that I can. There's no halfway.
Half a glass.
I almost let out a bad
word. You almost did, but you didn't.
Almost, I didn't.
You didn't. No, that was so well close. Played.
That was so polite.
I remember doing a story with you years ago because you were ruffling feathers within the real estate community because
that's not
all that Tuesday.
Yeah. No,
I remember you were kind of ruffling feathers with maybe more traditional real estate agents because you were using social media to market
houses.
And people had not done that before.
It was new. And that's, I saw just an audience that you could capture without pay. I mean, the SACB was, remember the days of the newspapers. Mm-hmm. And that was one way to do it. But this was where it was a virtual way to people, so people could see that there's houses out there and then they can also engage. And that's the important part about social media is it's engagement. As people want to, you know, say something. And that's good sometimes and that's bad sometimes. But that's when you're watching a TV show, they can yell at the TV, but no one's going to hear them.
Right.
But when they're at Facebook or they're in Instagram,
people are
reading it.
Yeah. So absolutely. When you started realizing, wow, you know, this is like A, free, but B, like maybe this is a way to do this. It really started working too.
Yeah, it did. And it still does. It's very much opened our audience. And it was social media. If you do it right and you do it, stay authentic, stay genuine, help other people and give a visual aspect to what you're doing in a day-to-day life, you're going to do great things. And I think with real estate and now with art was the same thing, was that no one was doing anything on social media as much or it was pretty quiet. And then that's where it's proven. And you mm-hmm. look at the California Print for Paradise and you can see how fast a painting can go digitally. All over. And then that's really what's been the fun part about it.
So teach us the tricks. Like what are the best ways to market things, people, projects? Like what do you think works?
I think it first starts with pictures and it starts with quality of pictures. And I think it starts with not having I was telling Sarah, who's my photographer,
let me call you out on something.
Yeah, call me out right now.
Tim has, and we're going to use them, so there's no judgment coming from this side of the table here. Tim, you have a professional photographer with you today.
Yeah, so Sarah is a marketing assistant, and part of her job is to go around and document kind of what's going on as far as different houses that we have coming on the market, different art things that are going on. If there's a podcast, it's awesome. We're there. And so we want to give a visual and we want to give the right way. And if instead of me having a little cell phone and trying to give some weird antiquated picture, I have her give the best pictures that we possibly can.
And so, that to
you
me
should go to newspaper.
Yeah. yeah, exactly.
But I think that's a really great tip.
Sure.
If you want to sell something, you have to make it look
good. It's got to look good.
It's got to look good.
The content also has to be really good. So I have somebody that helps me with the copy, and Alexis is amazing. And there's words that I say that aren't going to be good, and she goes, you shouldn't say it that way. And I go, okay, but I have a concept, and I have an idea, and she'll call me on that, and she's also really important. And so for me in the beginning, it was my own pictures. It was my own copy that I, but now we kind of brainstorm and it's fun. It's a good thing. So for me, making sure you have the right picture, making sure you have the right message that you're sending out to people, keeping it short and sweet, or what you're doing, and sharing pain. That's my third thing is that I get more posts or, more feedback than when my dog tears up something in my backyard, because yeah. Everyone's had a dog that's teared up something. Or when it comes to alcoholism, everyone knows an alcoholic. And if I talk about this is the pain that I went through and this is what I'm still going through and relate it and say, here's what's going on. This is what people can relate to. And that can go from very fun posts to very serious posts. And then what happens is I become more vulnerable and people reach out. And then it just creates engagement.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think being so public about all of it, the journey, the way art really kind of helped save that part of your life, has it kept you sober?
Yeah, it has. It saved my life. That's a great question. I think for me, I had no real direction. And the truth of the matter is that the reason why I am public, it's not because, hey, look at me, I think I'm doing great things and all of that, where some people might perceive that. It's actually accountability. And it's because if I go to a bar or I go grab a drink or I do something, I know that someone will see me and then they will say, you are not being your authentic and genuine self, the best self. So for me, being sober and putting it out there is accountability, because, you know, a lot of people, it's anonymity and we don't want to share that. But I think that for me, it's been really important to share my story and how I've gotten to where I am. And I don't know where I'm going. I mean, that, who knows? And that's a great question. Like, how's this going to help in 10 years?
Yeah.
You know,
you're a really interesting person because you're right brain, left brain.
Right.
Very few people have both. Is that a hard way to live life?
Constant fight in my head.
I mean, it kind of sounds awful.
There's
at
business
times.
Tim, and then there's art Tim, and the real estate Tim and art Tim fight all the time. And I think you know, staying creative and having fun. I love creativity. It's like my favorite thing. But yeah, like, and then I love the business side. I love numbers, and I love the idea of sales and different things. And I think that everyone has both of those sides. It just depends on which one you go towards. And I think even with this, it's like you have your news that you can kind of go your day to day. Here's what we do. But this is the stuff that people like, the creativity and going, okay, how can I tell someone's story, or how can I ask those questions? And that's been my thing is that how can I market with real estate? How can I market with art in a different way? And people can see who I am in a different way.
Do you ever get tired of that?
Yes.
Because it's a lot.
It's a lot. And then you get, and yes, I am tired nonstop, but I think it's worth it. And there's times that for me, I just think that you get tired of yourself. And so you get tired of the promotion. You get tired of, here's what I'm doing. And, you know, some days I just want to just take a bit of a break. But I think that ultimately, I have a group of people that a wonderful real estate team of very talented women. And then I have a very good group with a gallery director and art and all of those things. And we have lots of things that are going on that are really coming up that are crazy. And what I look at is that they have families and they have kids. And this is where, to me, my chance to give back and make their lives better.
If you had to pick one, real estate or art, knew I'd ask.
Yes.
What would you, I mean, like, which would it be? Because it's interesting. Yeah. You've been very successful in both. You know,
right.
The top agents in Sacramento and Northern California for selling homes. But then on the flip of it, you know, you've had this art explode over the last 5 years. And if you go into a Lululemon, your art is now on clothing, which just makes us spend more money. Thanks for that, Tim. But you've been equally successful in both,
sure.
Which is so unusual for a person. So, like, let's say tomorrow you had to pick one.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I think, to me, it's such a tough question. It's the best question. I'm really glad you asked it. It's just one of those things where I get asked it all the time. I won't pick one or the other at this point. And I think for me, the main thing is I love both. And one fuels the side of when I wake up during the day and meet with people and engage in finding houses and helping them get to where they need to be. And then artistic is a little bit more selfish, where it's by myself with really good music in a studio at 1 a.m. and doing what I do, but then turning that into something else. But I love both of them passionately. And right now, yes, it's hard to maintain what we're doing, and I love being successful, I guess, in other people's eyes. But in my own eyes, I think that it's one of those things that I really do feel that, you can have multiple aspects of what you do for your life, and you can have different passions. You don't have to be just a doctor. You don't have to be just a lawyer. You don't have to be just one thing. And I think, you know, a lot of people, if they have golf as their hobby, they just, I've figured out a way to kind of, you know, basically like do something where I get paid to do it and have fun. And that's really what
it is.
That's
such a cool thing, because I think when a lot of us were growing up, you did have to be one thing.
One thing.
And you were that one thing probably for your whole life.
Yeah. That was it. And you retire, and then you pick up maybe a hobby.
Maybe.
And then maybe, if you're lucky, you pick up running, right? You might do something
maybe.
Like that, right?
Yeah.
But now, through what you do, I think that multiple aspects, you can do other things, and that's what I'm finding.
And then you can market some of those things, and then you never know what's going
on. You never know. Like, yeah, for me, there's so many doors that are being opened, and we're doing a gallery in the Sacramento International Airport. There's a lot of different things that are happening.
Yeah.
And that's the best part about life, is that you never know where you're going.
Do you think you'll always be addicted to more?
Yeah, I think that's just my personality. I think that I'm always the type that, same thing, that I think most people that exercise are always addicted to finding that how hard they can push themselves, and also that feeling afterwards after they've accomplished it.
How many years sober?
10.
Congratulations. 10.
Thank you. Thank
Tim,
you.
Thank you for coming into the Dying Dads podcast.
It's been so fun.
It's been a lot of fun.
So much fun. Love this. Love it.
And just to be clear, Wayne Thiebaud will not come paint your house.
Yeah, no, Wayne Thiebaud.
I think that's the big thing.
No,
will Tim call him paint your house?
Yes, I will.
I don't know.
Give me a call. We'll figure it out.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Best ways for people to keep up with you?
Instagram. You can go to Tim Colum, or you can go through Facebook and go to Tim Colum. And yeah, my cell phone number is everywhere. If you just Google me, you're set on that too. Spend some
You're driving through Sacramento. Yeah. He's also on a whole bunch of like billboards and buses.
And yeah,
things.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. That's
All right.
It.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
KCRA3, your best choice for news at 11.
Live team coverage tonight.
No Sacramento station covers Northern California better than KCRA3.
We have breaking news on that rescue.
With resources to bring you the story wherever it happens. And detailed perspectives you won't see anywhere else.
Livecopter 3 shows that fire burning.
The experience you've come to trust every night.
Here's what we know right now.
Your best choice for news at 11. KCRA3, where the news comes first.
I think the thing that stuck out to me most was when he said, people tell me I can't do this. I'm too small to be a fitness person. I'm too young to be a real estate agent. Like, all these things, can't. And he's like, well, guess what? I did.
He did. Yeah, and I think that's really motivating for people, because some people, I think you are somebody who either needs a lot of positive affirmation, or sometimes you need to be told that you can't. I'm a little bit of the latter. You tell me I'm not going to be able to do something. Ugh, really? Did you have to throw down that gauntlet? Because you know I'm going to do it. But I think that the key is you got to figure out what does motivate you.
Yeah.
And then you got to feed that. And he feeds that artistic side of himself, the business side of himself. And I love that he says he doesn't know what he's going to do next, because I truly believe he doesn't know.
Yeah.
It'd
be
awesome.
Exciting to watch.
Always exciting to watch. All right. You can keep up with us on Instagram. You'll find the podcast at Dying to Ask Podcast on Instagram. You'll find me at Run Read Sip.
I am producer Jeff with G.
Indeed you are. Two F's, one G. Thank you to everybody who's been subscribing to the podcast and then sharing it with people. And what we'd love you to do is, would you please screen grab the show and tell us what stuck out from this episode? I want to know, like, what were the key words? For me, it's definitely addicted to more. Mm-hmm. That just resonated with me in all kinds of ways. Do me a favor, put it on Instagram stories. We'll share it with the show as well. And we appreciate the help. Great way to spread the Dying to Ask love.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye.